The last class of my old professor's life took place once a week in his house, by a window in the study where he could watch a small hibiscus plant shed its pink leaves. The class met on Tuesdays. It began after breakfast. The subject was the meaning of life. It was taught from experience. No books were required, yet many topics were covered, including love, work, community, family, aging, forgiveness, and finally, death. The last lecture was brief, only a few words. A funeral was held in lieu of graduation. The last class of my old professor's life had only one student. I was the student.
I think people have, so much of them have not found meaning in their life. So they're running all the time looking for it, not knowing that that's what they're looking for.
I'm Mitch Albom, and you are listening to Tuesday People, the Tuesday People podcast, which we do every Tuesday. And just like my visits with my old professor, Maury Schwartz, we take one topic that has to do with a meaningful life and explore it through the eyes of some of the things that he taught me and through the eyes of some of the things that I've learned in the, nearly 30 years since. My co-host is the indefatigable Lisa Goitsch. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Mitch. Happy Tuesday.
Nice to have you here with us again. And the topic we're taking on today, I think, is a really pertinent one. It has to do with the envy of youth. And we are in a society that worships youth. We don't just envy youth. We almost throw you out if you pass your expiration date. And everything is geared towards the young. The 15-year-old who invents an app and makes a gazillion dollars. The 18-year-old actor, the 19-year-old director, the 24-year-old tech genius. We are in such a mode now where young is good and being younger is good. And we deny ourselves getting older. And this is not a new issue, because in 1995, when I went and visited with Maury Schwartz, it was an issue then too. And I remember thinking that here I am, this relatively younger man, I was 37 years old, visiting this 78-year-old dying man, and I could walk, I was healthy, I could fly home. I remember I would bring him food all the time, thinking, hey, it's great, we'll eat together. And he didn't have the heart to tell me that because of his degenerative disease, he could no longer swallow the food. So he would ask me to put it in the refrigerator and he'd get it later. And until one day I came and I opened the freezer and it was all hidden in the freezer.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, this is what he was up against. And how did he keep from envying me, you know, my youth? Now, let's talk about this for a second, because I think it's a real issue in the United States, Lisa. I think that you have young people who can't wait to get older because they want to get rich and get famous and get accomplished. And yet, as young as, honestly, 29, they start panicking about how old they're getting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because they know that at 29, they aren't valued anymore. And I mean that in the sense of, look at, I hate this word so much, but influencers.
Yeah.
You know, like YouTube influencers.
Right.
They're 15 years old, 16 years old, 17 years old.
Right.
That's their audience. That's when they make their $1 million. When they're 29, bye-bye.
Right.
It's just such a, weird world we're living in.
And this, as I say, this isn't new, but it's worse than it was even when I was visiting with Maury. And you think about, really, okay, take it like this. We have a process in America where starting like in your late 20s, you start a routine, whether you realize it or not, of kind of denying you're getting older, right? So guys, you start working out. You know, we used to just call it playing ball. You know, it used to just be sports. When you're a kid, you go out, you just play it for fun. Now it's working. It has to have a purpose, right? And women, you know, if you do the shopping for your family and you start buying food, you start pulling the boxes off the shelf and reading that little black and white box that has all the nutrition. Because you have to read before you eat now, right? Because we don't want to get fat and we don't want to put on a weenie. We never used to do that when we were younger. We just eat the food, you know, and now you have to read the food before you can eat the food. And then guys, if you get older, you start losing your hair, you start start flopping it over onto the other side, you know. And then we get into our 40s and our 50s, and we're getting our tummies tucked and our lipo sucked and all the rest of it. And then we're divorcing our first husband or our first wife because somehow we think we need to upgrade in some capacity. And then we're riding around in a little red sports car listening to rap music and saying, oh, I've been listening to it for years. I think it's fabulous. You know, all in this effort to stay young, you know, we don't want to get old. We envy the young, their youth. Look at all the commercials that are made. Now, if they're for adult products, okay, they're going to use, you know, older people. But if they're for just general stuff, cars, but it's always attractive young people who probably don't have the money to buy any of these things, but they're using them to advertise all the, we just want to look like them. We want to be wrinkle-free. We want to be able to get up in the morning with that spring in our step. You know, we don't want to have any of the aches and pains that come with aging. We don't want to have any of the stomach indigestion. We just want to be young again. I remember my friend Dave Barry, a very, very funny writer, and we play in a band together, and he's Pulitzer Prize winning. And he said that they invented oldies radio so that people like us would think that our music was still being played on the radio, you know? Like,
that's true.
Like we would get into the car and say, oh, Chubby Checker, he's still hot, you know? He's still hot. We just want to stay young. We envy the young their youth. And I remember the day that I went in, the Tuesday that I went into Maury, and I was thinking about this. I must have seen a billboard or something like that. And here he was, unable to walk, suffering from ALS, unable to move, needing to be carried from room to room, needing somebody to, you know, wipe his tears, wipe his own rear end, all those types of things. And I said to him, how do you keep from envying me my youth? How do you keep from saying, I wish I was like you. I had your health. I was 37. How come he gets to be young and I'm stuck being old like this?
First of all, it's impossible not to envy somebody like that who's younger. Again, that's your reaction. But then your response can be different. I can envy everybody because they're all walking and I'm not. That could be my first reaction. Why am I envying them? They can walk and I can't. Well, I have to accept the fact I can't. So the issue is to accept your difference and revel in what you have and let them revel in what they had. Because you were young once. This is their time to be 30, 40. You had your time. You can't go backwards. So what I would say is, you have to find what is good, true, and beautiful in your life now, and not look back. And it has that, again, that competitive attitude.
It's so funny he uses that word competitive, because that was the line I remember him saying to me. It still resonates with me all these years later. He said, Mitch, age is not a competition. Think about that sentence. Age is not a competition. Now, he's right, but that's not how we act in this country. We start lying about our age, depending on how egotistical you are. By 29, we start referring ourselves in our mid-30s when we're 38, you know, or our 40s when we're 49.
This is what I do, 50, like in my 50s now, right? Yeah. So like if I'm 55, I'll say I'm almost 60. So the people will say, oh my God. Gosh, you look so good. Well, I always go up about 4 years.
That's an ego
just
thing
to test
too.
The waters.
Yeah, you just want to see what it's going to be like when you're actually 60. Of course, then when you say that and nobody reacts, like, well, you know, you look your age, and you go, well, wait a minute, I'm not actually 60.
Trust me, that's happened before.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal,
and I'm Kurt Sutter,
and welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's you know.
Trying to get him out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I remember when I started my job as a sports columnist, and I was very fortunate, and I got a very high-profile job in Detroit as the lead columnist for the Detroit Free Press when I was actually 25 years old. I barely turned 25 years old, and that's very young for that position. And I remember, because I looked like I was in high school, I actually lied about my age the other direction. For the first handful of years that I was here, you know, people would ask how old I was, and I would always say, I could never bring myself to say I was 30 because that, you know, and then it was a different decade, but I would say, you know, late 20s, you know, or if they pressed me, I'd say 28, I'm going to be 29 soon or something like that. I figured, well, I'm 25, I will be 29 soon. I'll be 29 in 4 years. It's soon. I shouldn't have done it, but it was interesting that I was trying to, you know, portray myself a certain way. But I was trying to portray myself as more mature. Now we get to this stage where we do so much with the way that we look, the way that we dress, the way that we act, because, well, I think there are two reasons. One, in this country, there is such an emphasis on youth and staying young in a youth culture that you feel totally out of it if you're not. If you don't get a certain kind of music, if you don't get certain kinds of clothing, they now have expressions for people like that. It's get off my lawn guy, you know, which I find a truly offensive type of statement, that just because you're older and you don't like something or you question something that's new, you get dismissed as, oh, you're the get off my lawn guy. Like you're the old guy in Up, played by, was it Ed Asner who did that? You know, right in my house. No, that's not it. Sometimes you are being critical because you have wisdom. You have something to offer. You have been around a certain length of time, but we don't value that in our culture. We don't hold it precious. There are cultures around the world, fewer and fewer, where the old are celebrated, where their knowledge is considered venerable. And, you know, we all studied, I think we were coming up, Native American tribes and things like that, where the elders, there was such a word, elders was something you aspired to. One day you'd be one of the elders. You say you're one of the elders today, you're admitting defeat. You know, you're basically saying, you know, I'm useless and I have nothing to contribute to this society. Well, it should never be that way.
Yeah, it also, I think, crosses over into employment these days.
That's right.
There is such a prejudice against older employees, and especially in the worlds of, you know, tech, computer stuff, they think, and not correctly, mind you, that if you are older than, let's say, 45, you can't possibly understand some of these concepts. But that's so not true. You know, I know so many friends of mine that are having such hard times finding jobs, say 45 and up. They send out resumes and resumes and resumes and don't even ask me about the dating sites. That's even worse. Mm-hmm. It just becomes this, I don't know, this, like, it's like you're at the end of your line. And I feel in many ways like I'm at the beginning. I like my age.
Of your wisdom.
I'm happy with how old I am.
Well, not only are you there, Lisa, but a good word for people who are listening to us who are in their 50s or in their 60s. Do you know that by next year, 17% of the American population will be over 65? 17% of the population will be over 65. And I think some crazy number, don't quote me on this, but it's close to like half the percentage of the population in America is over 50 or over 45. And it's only just going to keep getting older. So numbers-wise, older people represent a huge segment of the population, but buying power-wise and advertisers-wise, and that's where we get into the culture that Maury talked about all the time, to advertisers, the thinking is that young people can be influenced, and older people have made their mind up. And they use this like on toothpaste, all right? What kind of toothpaste do you use, Lisa?
I use Crest.
Okay, and how many years have you used Crest?
Probably most of my life.
Right, so their thinking is, I'm a Crest person myself, and their thinking is, you won't change. You'll see a commercial about how gleaming your teeth can get with Colgate or something else, and you might laugh at it and you might admire it, but you will not change your Crest toothpaste. 20s. So why bother with you? On the other hand, those 20-year-olds who are still making up their mind about what kind of car they're going to drive or what kind of toothpaste they're going to use or whatever, we can get to them. And so much of the advertising is geared towards younger people because it's believed that younger people are more pliable, which when you think about that, we're chasing, older people are chasing after this culture of young and whatever. Because the only reason there's a culture like that is because they're dumb enough to be convinced by a Colgate commercial that they should buy that toothpaste. So really, what's the rush to emulate youth if all this emphasis, commercialism youth-wise, is really just because they can be influenced to buy something? In a way, they're sort of saying they're naive enough that we can get them to buy our products. Whereas you older people, you're too smart for us. You've already figured out what you want, and you're not going to do it. So, you know, in a certain way, we should admire that, you know, but we don't. We feel inadequate. We feel that we're not making the grade if we don't get young. And so we start to envy it, and we start to envy younger coworkers who are more valued than us. And we are, you're right, Lisa, we're being let go in ridiculous numbers for younger people who are willing to work cheaper. And so you get to your mid-50s, it's a danger zone. How many people out there who have been let go in their 50s and can't find another job? A recent AARP study showed that nearly 2 out of 3 workers 45 and older have experienced age discrimination on the job. And another study of 2,000 workers over 50 showed that more than half were forced to leave their jobs at some point due to layoffs or businesses closing or job dissatisfaction, whatever. And of them, 10% ever found another job. 10% ever found another job. Because try to get hired when you're 54 or 57 or 59.
Right. And it's frightening because think about that. When you're 55, you still have 10 more years before you can even start collecting Social Security, right? So those people have 10 years to do what? It's what a panic they must be in.
Yeah.
And I know a friend of mine who applied for a job, very qualified for this position, very qualified. She was told she was, quote, overqualified.
Yeah.
All she wanted was a job. It was a good job. She would have been perfect for the job. I think overqualified is code for old.
Old. Yeah.
That's
think
it
about
is.
It. Why do we want to hire somebody older? We're going to have to pay them more. Why do we want to have to hire somebody older? They're going to use more of their health benefits. They might get sick. We're going to have to ride them for a while. We have a better odds of a younger worker who's not going to miss work because they're sick, not going to take advantage of the benefits because they're sick. All these economic reasons that people have for not hiring older people without thinking of the most important reason, that they are experienced and they are wise.
Right.
And that they have something to offer. I asked Maury about how it was that here he was a college professor. Now think about this, a college professor. So what is the age group that he is constantly working with? 18 to 22, right? They never get older. These people are always younger. And he saw them coming in and they were the currency and he was getting older and older. So I asked him about any envy that could come from a position like that where you're aging, but the people you're working with never do.
How did you keep all those years that you were getting older and your clientele, so to speak, your students were always young? I mean, there was always 18 to 22, 18 to 22, 18 to 22 over and over again. How did you keep from noticing the distance that was growing between you and them?
Mitch, part of me is every age. And part of me is 78. Mm-hmm. I'm a 3-year-old. I'm a 5-year-old. I'm a 37-year-old. I'm a 50-year-old. I've been through all of them. I know what it's like. And I delight in being a child when it's appropriate to be a child. Mm-hmm. I delight and being an old wise man, it's appropriate. The old wise man, we never lose that unless you want to hide it. But we all have all those ages in us because we went through them.
That's a brilliant analysis of it because
sure
he basically
is.
Says, I remember after that, he said, why should I be envious of where you are? I've already been where you are. I've already been where you are. You should be envious of me. I got 38 years on you, 40 years on you. And he was right. You know, I was not guaranteed that I was going to get to 78. I still am not. Mm-hmm. He already reached 78. So my position should have been, boy, am I envious of you, Maury. Look at all the years you've had to live and to grow, whatever. I'm only at 37. I hope God grants me those years to live that long. And instead, we tend to flaunt our youth. Ha ha, get off the lawn, old man, you know, that business. How silly. Inside me is every age I've ever been. Think of that, what Maury just said. Inside me is every age I've ever been. So when a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old somehow makes you feel out of place or archaic, you can say to yourself, inside me is already a 25-year-old. But the trick, Lisa and everybody, the trick is to be satisfied with that. Not to try to go repeat it. Not to say, well, inside me is a 25-year-old and I am now 50 years old and I want to be 25 again. That will leave you frustrated. That will leave you unsatisfied. That will leave you miserable. Because that's the one thing we haven't figured out how to do yet, except in film, where apparently they can make your face now look like Will Smith in Gemini Man and Robert De Niro and they can literally just be young again. But that's movie magic. It's not real life.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, there's only a couple of things I would say I envy about being younger. One thing is I wish that I would have appreciated being 24 when I was 24. You know, I wish I would have had a child when I was younger. I wish I could talk to my younger self and go backwards,
yeah,
only to send the messages from the other side.
Right.
You know, there's things you don't know then that you know now. And I guess we should value those things that we know now.
That's
but it's
right.
A darn shame. And save more money. I wish I would have saved more money when I was in my 20s.
Right. Right. But if you knew all those things when you were in your 20s, they wouldn't be your 20s. They'd be your 50s.
Right. That's true.
Very few people are as wise as they end up being in their 50s, in their 20s. And they make mistakes and they do things that they later come to regret. Some of those things they can undo. Some, like having children, you can't. Although I will say that I share that same regret with you. I didn't get married until my late 30s, and my wife was a couple years older than me. And we weren't able to have children by the time we got married. And at the time, I didn't think it was so awful because I was very career-oriented, and I just thought, well, I'm busy anyhow, and it's all right, it'll just be the two of us. But as the years passed, we began to feel that ache, my wife even more than me, and there was nothing to be done about it at that point. But lo and behold, when you think, well, you know, boy, I'm just going to have to live with that regret. And this is an important lesson. I ended up going down to Haiti in 2010. And in 2010, I was just into my early 50s. And I ended up going to an orphanage. And one thing led to another. I ended up taking over the operations of that orphanage. Now, I would not have had the means to take over the operations of that orphanage, the experience to take over the operations of that orphanage, the time to take over the operations of that orphanage, if I had not led the life that I had led up to that point. But because I had, and I had already been working in charities, and why had I been working in charities? Because I was lucky enough to have earned some money and been able to invest, put it into charities and operate them. So I had that experience. I ended up taking over this orphanage, and now we have 52 children that we raise there that my wife and I consider our family. They don't call us mom and dad, but these are orphans who really, in many cases, don't even have their mothers or fathers, natural mothers or fathers alive. In other cases, one parent might be alive, but they have nothing to do with them, or they've abandoned them, or they can't afford them. And we're raising these children. We have all these wonderful children in our life. Do they look like us? No, they don't. Do they talk like us? No, they don't. Do they come from our DNA? No, they don't. But in our 50s, we were blessed with the experience of children. Not the same as the way we would have had it in our 20s. But you see, some things will come to you if you're open to them. If you're open to sort of saying, well, I can't do it that way. I can't be 24 anymore. We can't just get pregnant. But there's a whole other way to have a family and a whole other way to have children in your life. And
yeah,
we were blessed to discover that. And there's a version of that for everybody in some way, shape, or form. Maury was very realistic about what he could and couldn't be at 78 and dying from ALS.
I can't be a child that runs at a great speed. I can be a child in my attitude toward wonder, a wonder toward the universe, or delight in a simple thing, or laugh, you know, uproariously.
Uproariously. Yes, that's right. You can still have the wonder of a child. You can still laugh uproariously. You don't have to look at aging as some kind of sentence, as some kind of punishment that you're getting because you've stuck around so long. And I think what Maury said at the beginning of the program, and I played this at the very beginning before we even talked about what the topic was going to be, because I thought it was going to be pertinent, and I'll remind you of it here.
I think people have, so much of them have not found meaning in their life. So they're running all the time looking for it, not knowing that that's what they're looking for.
That is apropos to what we're talking about here. When you are not satisfied or have not found something significant in your life, it's easy to say, I blew my 20s, I blew my 30s, I want to get them over again. I want a new wife. I want a new husband. I want the newer model. I want the red sports car. I want to live all that over again. That's generally because you probably haven't found something in your life that gives it meaning, because when you have meaning, you have contentment. I always tell people when I go to the orphanage in Haiti, I sleep better there than I ever do in the United States. Now, this is in a country where it's 100 degrees at night sometimes, and the air conditioning, if it ever works, is very, very spotty, and the electricity goes out all the time, and we don't have any power, and the beds are, you know, the cheapest mattresses, and the pillows are the whatever you can buy in Haiti that's not, you know, nobody's on goose down there. And yet, I go to sleep at the end of the day satisfied that the kids there needed me and I was there for them. And I wake up in the morning without an alarm clock because they're always up at 6 o'clock in the morning running across the yard going, you know, Gazan! You just hear somebody yell. And, you know, only it's like, Gazan! You know, it's kids squealing and laughing and giggling and occasionally crying. And it's the most wonderful thing to wake up to. And I sleep well because I have a sense of meaning. I have a sense of being needed. And that has come to me late in life, later than parenting normally does. But it makes me feel young without me having to be young. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't need to be 25 to feel good about myself or to feel good about waking up in the morning. And neither do any of you. If you find something that's meaningful, whatever it is, your family, the type of work, the creative output that you have, giving to some kind of charitable organization or helping people in need, or just one thing or two things in your day where you go out of your way to make life a little better for somebody else, that can give you that very youthifying, if there is such a word, feeling of being satisfied. Because that's really, when we think back on our youth, Lisa, do you remember thinking, boy, I'm happy because my body works and because I can eat a cheesesteak at 3 a.m. and not get sick? You weren't happy because we weren't aware of it.
I didn't appreciate it.
Right. What made us happy was we were optimistic about the day. Mm-hmm. And we woke up and we said, yeah, today I'll get to do this. Well, why does that have to stop just because you reach a certain age?
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You can be joyous, laugh uproariously, be optimistic. All it takes is finding some meaning in your life.
Yes, and you can still have dreams. I think that's a big fallacy, that once you get to a certain point in life that you still can't dream, you know, of better things or things that you can do in your future. Until you're dead, you can still dream.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, and there's no reason.
And reach goals.
No reason you can't take on something new. No reason you can't say, I've never done this before, but I'm going to. I always admired when the former President Bush, the older President Bush, decided to jump out of a plane when he was in his very advanced age because he'd never done it before. And why not now? And I thought he set a great example for people saying, well, why does that? You can't say, oh, that's a young person's thing. There's no such thing as it's a young person's thing. Doing what you dream about is not a young person's thing. The mindset of I can't do it is an old person's thing. And that's something that we have to fight against. The mindset of I am too old. You don't ever need to say to yourself, I am too old. Look at Maury.
That's true.
Maury was 78, stricken with the worst of diseases. ALS, you know, snips the connection between your brain and the rest of your body. Everything eventually becomes stiff and unconnected and useless. You can't move anything. And maybe you can move a toe. Maybe you can blink your eyes. In Maury's case, he was very blessed that he could still talk. Many ALS patients can no longer even talk. They need to be carried from place to place. But Maury's mind stayed intact. And because his mind stayed intact, and it's rare that our minds go. Of course, there are, you know, diseases as we get older, Alzheimer's and the like, that do affect the mind. Strokes, and these are terrible things, and they're a different category. But just getting older doesn't mean your mind doesn't have to work anymore. Even if you got some flab around the middle, even if you can't run a 6 minute mile anymore, or an 8 minute mile,
I can run 6 minutes,
or a 12 minute mile. You can't do those things, but your mind can still work. So look at Maury. His body was totally useless, but he said, I can still be valuable, I can teach. And that's what he did. And he taught me more in that 7 or 8 month span of his dying days than I had probably ever learned in college or anywhere else. And he likened his dying to being a leaf on a tree. And you know, when a leaf is about to fall off a tree, what happens? It turns colors, and it turns the most brilliant color, right? A tree is never more bright, never more colorful, a leaf, than when it's about to die. Right? And Maury saw
that. That's genius, Mitch.
Well, I didn't think it up. That was Maury. And that's what he said. But I have remembered it, and I have tried to guide myself by it, that our brightest colors may still be yet to come. And just before we fall off the tree, we could dazzle. We could dazzle. And if you believe that, then the days to come are exciting, because you're going to take all of what you have learned in your life and carry it with you. Think of a young person as having a satchel on their back, and an old person as having a satchel on their back. And what goes in the satchel are all the experiences that have taught you something over the course of your life. That young person, that life skinny, I can eat anything I want at 3 o'clock in the morning young person with all their hair, what's in their satchel? It's thin, right? It barely weighs them down. Now that older person who maybe has lost their hair, maybe flabby around the middle, maybe a little cellulite here or there, needs glasses, okay. But the satchel that's on that person's back, it's full. It's stuffed. It's bursting at the brims from experiences. And if we learn to value those experiences and learn from them and realize what a great head start we have on our satchels because of the years we've been given, we'd start to look at our aging as something precious instead of what's past as something envious. And that's the lesson we want to share with you today. Remember when Maury said, why should I be envious of where you are? I've already been where you are. That is a line that you can use anytime someone younger is making you feel like you're somehow useless because of your age. What was the famous line in Fried Green Tomatoes, where Kathy Bates is going for a parking space, and these two younger women shoot in front of her and steal her parking space. And this happens more than once in the movie. And they get out at one point and say, let's just face it, they say to her, you know, they're 20 years younger than her, we're younger and we're faster. and they go in giggling into the store, something like those lines. And finally, at the end of the movie, they're about to go in and she just rams into their car and smashes their car and takes the space. And she gets out and she says, let's face it, I'm older and I have more insurance.
That's so great.
I thought, okay, exactly. That's a great way to handle that kind of thing. So don't let the envy of youth get you down. Realize that you have the control within you to be satisfied with your life and the years that you've had, and that everything that you have accumulated is precious and is part of the tapestry of your life, and you'll have a much happier time of it. That is our Tuesday People community for today. We're glad that you're joining us here. If you enjoyed what you heard, tell your friends that they can get this podcast. Where, Lisa, pretty much wherever you get a podcast, right?
Wherever you get a podcast. Yeah. And check into our website at WeTuesdayPeople.com. On our website, we have every link to every podcast provider and all kinds of special treats for you.
Of course, you can find out more about Tuesdays with Maury. You can find out more about Dr. Phil. And you can find out about my new book, Finding Chica, which just came out and talks a lot about these themes, because it details about how my wife and I became parents to this beautiful little girl, a five-year-old girl from Haiti who had developed a brain tumor. And if you want to talk about aging, you know, being reversed, here is a five-year-old girl with a fatal brain tumor, and here we are in our 50s, and we get to live. Now, what did she have to say about age and life? She died when she was seven. Seven for her was her whole life. That was the whole life that she knew. And in those 7 years, she lit up the world and affected people in ways that almost impossible to measure in seven brief years. And there are people who live 10 times that, who will never touch as many people as little Chica did. So I've lived this, I know from whereof I speak, as my mother was fond of saying. And I know that if we just turn our attention to being appreciative of the years that we have instead of regretful of the years that we don't or the years that are gone, we're going to go through life a lot happier. Until we see you next time on Tuesday People, Lisa Goich, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I'm Mitch Alpam, and we'll see you again next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Tuesday People. To be part of our conversation, join the Tuesday People community at WeTuesdayPeople.com. Subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you with us every Tuesday because, after all, we're Tuesday people.